So this service started out a couple of months ago as an exploration of the divine feminine, inspired by the Chalice Women's Retreat back in April. But the path took some unexpected turns for me, as it often does, as they often do, and led me into more the space where the divine feminine and the divine masculine come together, to the necessity of balancing both frequencies in order to honor our whole selves. When we talk about the divine feminine or the divine masculine, there is a common trap we fall into. We immediately start thinking about woman versus man, femaleness versus maleness, and we treat it like a scale, as if by leaning into one, we have to pull weight away from the other, or like a pie that is limited, forcing us to allocate portions to one side or the other. But I want to challenge that today. As Kelly Castillo described for us at the women's retreat, it's more, think in terms of abundance. She envisioned an ice cream sundae instead of the pie. Adding toppings doesn't diminish what lies beneath. It expands what is in the bowl. It expands the joyous deliciousness. The divine feminine and masculine are not gender roles. They are not standards against measure ourselves or to judge anyone else. They are frequencies, energies. All across the world, from West African to South American spiritual systems, from Taoism to pre-Christian Europe, almost every ancient culture viewed the universe as a dynamic interplay between masculine and feminine cosmic principles. While the mainstream branches of the Abrahamic traditions, Judaism, Christianity, Islam, do not necessarily view these complementary forces as shaping our world, the mystical branches of each, like the Kabbalah, Gnosticism, and Sufism, they do. They explicitly recognize a balance of masculine and feminine divine attributes. The divine versions of these archetypes are very different from the societal perceptions or labels of the feminine and masculine, male and female. We all know what those versions look like. In modern Western philosophy and esoteric thought, Carl Jung's archetypes, specifically, the divine feminine is a universal spiritual energy focused on inward discovery. It represents intuition, nurturing, creativity, and being. It represents receptive power, compassion, and emotional depth. The divine masculine is often associated with the outward focus, like action and logic and protection and structure, the doing in the world. During various chapters in my life, I have leaned heavily into one or the other, often falling out of balance in the process. And I definitely viewed it all in terms of gender. I grew up in a Protestant faith tradition that made absolutely no room for the divine feminine. The Catholics, at least, had Mary. But my family's conservative branch of Lutheran viewed that as idolatry, something absolutely forbidden. The absence of a female presence in their teachings was really one of the key sticking points for me that kept me from ever embracing or even accepting their religious faith. It simply didn't speak to me. Where was I supposed to be? What would be my place in that space? How could I ever be myself without feeling less than? Now, I have always felt like and identified as a girl or a woman. That said, I hated wearing dresses and patent leather shoes. I preferred climbing trees and riding my bike over playing with dolls. My first pets were snakes. And in my early teens, in the late 70s, I was one of the very few girls playing this new game called Dungeons and Dragons. I suppose the label tomboy fit pretty well at the time. And like the little girl in the song today, my neighbor shamed me for riding my bike without a shirt on. I was in kindergarten. The role of being female got more complicated as I grew into a woman. Through observation and interpretation, I learned that to be successful, I needed to be confident, logical, structured, and disciplined, to show no fear or vulnerability, to be strong and assertive and independent, many of the qualities I associated with men. Sadly, most of the women in my family, at least for the past three generations, had been survivors of severe abuse, either physical and or emotional. And while now I see their tremendous strength and resilience, even heroism, I admit that I grew up seeing women as weaker, as victims, and I didn't want any part of that. I became fiercely independent, and I cultivated the more masculine traits, in my opinion, even though I couldn't snuff out my vulnerability or my softness, my intuition, or the nurturing and caretaking parts of me. In college, I became passionate about children's television programming. Television, I believed, especially at least at that time, was the most powerful tool for change. If you could first entertain an audience, you could educate, you could enlighten, you could introduce new ideas and understandings, and you could transform. So in my senior year, I landed an internship at CBS and got to sit down with the man in charge of children's programming. In his smug, condescending manner, as if he were doing me a favor, he told me explicitly to find another dream. That there was no path for me in television. I didn't have the right connections. Implicitly, I didn't have the right gender either. He said I was not going to start out as a secretary and work my way up to be head of programming. That's not how it worked. I'm very happy to say I did exactly what he said I couldn't do. I started out 2 years later as an administrative assistant at a cable television network, and 8 years later was a programming executive. It was exciting work. Sometimes it even felt meaningful, but it was always very stressful. I tried to be everything I thought success required and often hid the other parts as best I could. But by the time I left the entertainment business, I was empty and worn out. I felt like it was killing me, literally, and I started searching. I didn't really know who I was or what I wanted at that point. And like the narrator in the song I sang today, I felt like I had lost something integral. I had sacrificed too much for that success. So at that time, a little over 20 years ago, I had discovered this community. And at one of the gatherings here at Chalice, I was introduced to the idea of goddess, to many of the archetypes and manifestations of the goddess. And for the first time, I really began accepting and embracing the more feminine side of my being. I saw it as power. I wanted to be grounded, nurturing, intuitive, and creative. I felt the power of the feminine, generative, and life-giving. I would say internally, the pendulum had swung from one extreme to the other. I didn't prune the logical, active, structured side of my being, but I didn't value it as much either. My next chapters, both as a stay-at-home mom and then working in the health and wellness sector, were heavily skewed toward caretaking and nurturing, toward creativity and intuition, toward a more feminine frequency. Let me dive a little deeper here into the archetypes of the feminine and the masculine. As I touched on at the beginning of the, at the beginning here today. In Western thought, the masculine is externally focused, the active force, the doing. And the feminine is internally focused, the receptive force, the being. As I researched and read up on it, though, I kept getting mixed messages, conflicting paradigms. I finally came to learn that was because the Eastern traditions see it almost in the opposite. The masculine is pure consciousness, stillness, and being. And the feminine is the active force, the doing. In Hinduism, Shakti is the divine feminine, the primordial cosmic energy that animates the universe, while Shiva is the divine masculine, pure consciousness. It can be kind of hard to follow. But ultimately, which perspective resonates with us is not really that important. The message from both the Eastern and the Western thought is that the divine is a perfect balance of both. Women, woman, man, non-binary, all of us, both and, not either or. Similar to the concept of yin and yang, the divine feminine and masculine are two halves of a whole. Among the deities of the Hindu tradition, Parvati is the manifestation of Shakti in the world, the divine feminine, the dynamic energy, movement, and material world. Shiva is the embodiment of the divine masculine, the silent, steady space for that energy to exist. Think perhaps of a river rushing along its course. The water itself is the dynamic movement, the power and the life force. The riverbanks provide the structure and direction that allow the river to exist in the first place. Without the riverbanks to channel the force of the water, there would simply be flooding, chaos, maybe a swamp. Without the water, the river would be an empty ditch. It cannot be a river without both parts. I want to share a sacred story from Hinduism about the union of Shiva and Parvati, the ultimate template for cosmic equilibrium, in Vedic thought at least. Their relationship demonstrates that true balance is about how two contrasting forces complement, soften, and activate one another. According to legend, a sage named Bhrigu was fiercely devoted only to Shiva and refused to worship Parvati, viewing her as lesser. When the sage tried to walk only around Shiva in a ritual circle, Parvati stepped closer to Shiva to prevent it. When Bhrigu still tried to slip between them, Shiva said nothing, but simply merged entirely with Parvati, creating the Ardhanarishtvara, or the ultimate synthesis, a deity that is literally half man and half woman. The right side is Shiva, calm, still. Left side is Parvati, expressive, alive with color and movement. The physical merging meant to prove to the sage and to the world that they are completely inseparable. The masculine and feminine are not two competing entities, but two halves of the exact same whole. You cannot have one without the other. Consciousness without energy, nor energy without consciousness. This is the Vedic principle of existence. Shiva is pure awareness that is formless and still and witnessing. It is the unchanging ground of existence, while Shakti, Parvati, is the dynamic force of creation, of movement or emotion, and neither can exist without the other. How often do we honor one side of ourselves while dismissing the other? Maybe we glorify logic, but we distrust intuition. We celebrate strength, but shame softness. We value productivity but feel guilty about rest. We want to grow but we resist being vulnerable. Maybe we try to be only Shiva, controlled, composed, and untouchable. Or only Shakti, expressive, feeling, moving constantly. And that split diminishes us on the inside, because we cannot live a whole life with only half of ourselves. The lesson of the Ardhanarishvara of Shiva and Parvati is that we are not meant to honor only our stillness while ignoring our fire, or vice versa. Cultivating both, balancing our own inner energies, lets us know when to be fiercely protective, like Shiva, and when to be nurturing, like Parvati. Like the river, we are each of us the water and the banks. To feel balanced in life, an appropriate mix of these slates will vary from person to person. If each of us is born complete from the start, an entire universe within each infant contained, as we grow, between trial and error, learned behaviors, our own neurological makeup, expectations from society, media, family, self, we shape which traits we value or strive for, and which we devalue or try pruning altogether. Are there any parts of you, like in the song today, that you feel you have lost along the way? Some piece yearning to be embraced again? In my current chapter, I'm running another business now, but this time it feels more like a blending. More of both and, rather than either or, as Ani pointed out to me last year. Do you realize? That's exactly what was going on. In part, this tenuous balance may be a side effect of gray hair. But I know I don't want to devalue entire parts of my being anymore. The stories and philosophies of the ages teach us that we become more whole when we honor and cultivate both the divine feminine and the divine masculine. Again, we cannot live a whole life with only half of ourselves. Remember, when you add a new topping to the sundae, the ice cream underneath doesn't disappear. The foundation is still there. By embracing more of the divine feminine or the divine masculine, you aren't reducing the other parts of yourself. You are simply adding layers. You're adding the hot fudge, the sprinkles, the nuts, the toppings, the cherry on top. You're not becoming less of one thing, but more of everything. When we affirm both within ourselves and in others, our journey takes us beyond the little boxes and labels, celebrating wholeness and honoring our true selves. May it be so.